and he's looking around, considering where is Krishna? Is Krishna here or there? Something is happening, and he thinks, oh, is this a message from Krishna? And actually, you will be getting messages from Krishna. And what to speak on the level of a sakti, even on lower levels, the devotees also, they do get that. But he being, you could say, obsessed with this idea of Krishna's personal presence as a, not quite tangible, but sometimes tangible, like a haunting presence of Krishna, then he may think, the example was that, oh, there's some antelope over there. If they move a few steps towards me, then Krishna is telling me this. Or he goes up and asks some boy, some ordinary boy walking here and wherever we are in Phoenix, will I see Krishna today? Boy, what? I beg your pardon. Yes. Oh, really? So, in this way, he becomes captivated. So this is really very high level of consciousness of Krishna. And because Krishna consciousness is not of this world, and this world is not a very nice place to be of, so he starts to sort of lose contact with this world. May do. So then, let us go on now. Chapter 7, page 22. These are descriptions of such high levels of Krishna consciousness that it's very hard for us to really explain them, and it's very hard for us to understand them, other than certain features which are particularly prominent. So I won't try to so-called explain so much. We will rather read some of these descriptions, and I'll say a few words here and there. So when asakti achieves extreme maturity, it is called rati or bhava. The actual translation of this word, bhava.
Bhava equals ecstasy. And rati, for that matter, is almost synonymous.
But it's not quite.
It actually means attachment.
Like Sri Guru Charane Rati. Attachment for his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. You know that song. Sri Guru Charana Padma. So rati is sort of synonymous, but not exactly. Well, here he's presenting it as like essentially synonymous. Anyway, the idea is ecstasy and the attachment. This ecstasy is developing on the basis of a sakti, which definitely means attachment. So it's the ecstasy, a developing of ecstasy in attachment. So bhava, what is bhava? The immature stage of the Swarup Shakti, or internal energy of the Lord. It's described, Rupa Goswami describes it as the first rays of the sun of prema. So it is actually prema, but it's a little bit of prema, pure love of God. So bhava means the level of perfection, but not unqualified, unlimited perfection, just the beginnings of perfection. It's described here as being the budding stage. You remember our example, the example given by Lord Chaitanya of the kripa, the bhakti lata, starting with the seed of Shraddha and growing and growing. So asakti was the bud. When the bud buds and becomes a flower, that's bhava. And then when the flower becomes a fruit, that's prema. The fruit of love of God. So it is thus the blossoming flower of the desire creeper of bhakti. Its outer luster is the quality of sudurlabha, it's very rarely achieved. And its inner luster
is moksha labhukriti, it derides even the conception of liberation. Just one atom of bhava uproots ignorance completely. Where can we get one atom of it? We need it. I need it. Just one atom of it. What to speak of a real dose. And moreover, the profuse release of fragrances of the flower of bhava invites Krishna and causes him to appear there. So, inherent in the understanding of what is the level of bhava is that the devotee is established or is becoming established in his or her direct relationship with Krishna in whichever rasa it may be. This is like the fundamental or foundation understanding of what the level of bhava entails. Bhava means ecstasy. And there are different ecstasies. There are different ecstasies which all together, when they're there, means that the person's on the level of bhava, on the level of ecstasy. First is staiva. Staiva. Maybe you should write this down for our test tomorrow. You all know about that, right? So, who knows what a staiva is? Who knows how many staivas there are? Come on. Some of you took our Nectar of Devotion course. Don't tell me you forgot on me. Well, you're not on me. Okay, so there are five staivas, beginning with Shanta. In other words, the five rasas. Yeah. These are the five sthayi bhavas. And when we talk about the level of bhava, we talk of being in a state which is fundamentally characterized by your particular bhava. Your particular sthayi bhava. Depending on which one you're in. You may be in a mutual relationship. This is already there within your heart. Yes, your swaroops. Of course. What particular relationship you have with Krishna. You may be in Shanta Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras, whatever it is. It's already there. But the level of bhava means that it is becoming manifest, and it's the basic element on the level of bhava. And it is enhanced by other bhavas, by other ecstasies. And we'll tell you what those are in a few minutes. So what more can I say? Well, I could also say the same thing. And that could be the end of the course. But we'll carry on. Centered by the fragrances of bhava. Anyway, he's making this point. What more can I say? This is so transcendental that, you know, we are just sort of flailing around on the edge, and we may get a little idea that we're actually talking about something which is a little beyond us, well beyond us. So all of the emotions of the heart become like the oil of liquefied bunches of sesame seeds, at once fit to smear on all the limbs of the Lord. Just at the appearance of bhava, even a chandala becomes worthy of respect from Lord Brahma and others. And then there's a description in the next paragraph of, you could say, like the emotional state. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a little hard to distinguish between it and the state of the person on the level of asakti, other than to say it's just a much more intense. But he says here, when asakti reaches extreme maturity, so it's just like a very extreme condition that devotee on the level of asakti is in, looking for Krishna and wondering where Krishna is and like that. So at that time, his eyes fully long to turn towards Vrajendranandan, to lick the blackness of his limbs, the rosy hue of his lips and eyelids, the white brilliance of his moonlike teeth shining in his smiling face, and the yellow hue of his clothing and ornaments. They then begin to bathe his body in profuse streams of tears. Like he is running here. So he is running here and there. He's running here and there sometimes. Sometimes he's freezing his motion and raising his ears. Not very well expressed there. He longs for his ears to be decorated with the earrings of the song of Krishna's flute, the jingling of his anklets, and the sweet intonation of his voice. So, yes, his nostrils open wide, repeatedly and inhaled, anxious to examine the fragrance of the Lord's body, because he was already beginning to perceive the Lord in Sakti, and now he's actually doing that, and he's actually more or less situated, coming to be situated, in his eternal rasa with Krishna. So this is very, very, very profound and most astonishing level of consciousness. Then going down that paragraph, down to about the sixth line from the bottom of the paragraph. Having obtained the most precious jewel of Bhava, the devotee tries to hide it like a miser from the ordinary people. However, the famous logic says that a bright face reveals hidden wealth. The face is the index of the mind. Thus, advanced devotees will recognize the status of this devotee as he becomes a resident of all wonderful qualities. Of course, common people, being unable to understand all this, will conclude that he's mad. So then we'll just skip the next couple of paragraphs. They're talking about Bhava arriving from Vaidhi Sadhana and Bhava arriving from Raghunuga Sadhana. We won't bother going into that subject at this point. But now, right at the bottom, don't turn the page. Well, we will be in a second, but right at the bottom of page 22, last couple of lines. So then again, these five bhavas, Shantadasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, depending which one it is, obtain other bhavas, other ecstasies, and then they become the kings known as Stai bhavas. So in other words, that Stai bhava is the king of the various bhavas, the various types of ecstasies that the devotee is experiencing on the level of bhava. So these other bhavas, they're listed there. You're still on page 22. I hear all these pages shuffling around. But we're still on page 22. So there's Vibhava. There's Anubhava. You can see them all there. There's, what is it now? Satvika. 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 And Vyabhichari. So the underlying ecstasy, which all the other ecstasies are interacting with, and actually when they interact, the idea is that as they interact, they produce something which is called rasa. Anyway, that is now, we're now going on to the level of prema. We haven't finished it. So let's not worry about rasa too much. Now, so Vibhav, what does Vibhav mean? Well, anyway, I'm sure you won't know, but do you remember Vibhav? Any of our other... Huh? Oh, well done. Okay. It's that which stimulates ecstasy. Well done, the Deepak. So what stimulates ecstasy or Bhava? What do you think? Come on, tell me, what do you think? What stimulates ecstasy? Suggest Krishna. Right. Krishna. So the devotee sees Krishna, thinks of Krishna, hears Krishna's name. And this is Viva. And not only Krishna, what else? What else stimulates ecstasy? Yeah, things associated with it, particularly the devotees. So, vibhav means that which stimulates ecstasy. And anubhav means the response, the
Well, basically the response. Like, to give you an example, Mother Yashoda sees Krishna, her little baby, and she thinks, oh, Krishna, something like that. So, you know, there's a very deep impact that, oh, here's my baby Krishna. So this is Vibhava. Then Anubhava means she then picks him up and embraces him. The response to this, the stimulation. Get the idea? Then Sattvika Bhav means, what would you say? Well, it basically means the emotion. So she embraces Krishna, and what does she do? She cries. She cries. There's a very nice example given in Nectar of Devotion to illustrate like the succession of these bhavas one after the other. The example is of Maharaj Ambarish, when Devasa Muni was trying to harass him. He created some demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish. So Maharaj Ambarish saw, here's this demon. And then what did he think? Of course, he's a pure, he's on the level of Bhava. He thought, Krishna, Krishna. So that's Vibhava. Then he thought, I better take shelter. So he took shelter of Krishna within his mind. He remembered Krishna, prayed to Krishna. So that's Anubhava. And then as he was doing that, tears came to his eyes. So that's Sattvika Bhava. Yeah. So Sattvika Bhava and Vyabhichari Bhava are related. Sattvika Bhava, there are 8 Sattvika Bhavas, which you may, you also have to know all of these for the test tomorrow. And everything else. Like in Tatva Sandhala, you have to learn all the Sanskrit.
Don't worry about the English. Anyway, okay.
So there are 8 Sattvika Bhavas. A devotee may become stunned, fall on the ground, hairs may stand on end, faltering voice, trembling, tears, perspiration, change of bodily colour, and devastation. These are the 8 Sattvika Bhavas. Any of you who have read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you've read the chapter, I think it's Madhya Lila chapter 13, Lord Chaitanya dancing at Ratha Yatra. So he is, there's a vivid description of how he's manifesting these Sattvika Bhavas. His hairs are sticking out like porcupine's quills. Tears squirting from his eyes. His body sometimes golden, which is the normal color, then turning white, then turning pink, then, and all things like this, and then fainting on the ground, crashing on the ground. So these are Sattvika Bhavas. They're very intense. They're not permanent, but they're not so temporary as Vyabhichari Bhavas. These are called transient. In other words, more temporary emotional conditions. More transient types of emotional conditions. There are 33 of them, and you just have to learn all of them. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. If I had Nectar of Devotion, I could read them out to you, but things like a feeling of pride comes up, and then it goes, and a feeling of humility comes. So these more transient emotional conditions, they're called Vyabhichari Bhavas. And as they mix, they're called Sanchari. As the Sattvika and Vyabhichari Bhavas mix, they're called Sanchari. But anyway, generally we talk of 5 Bhavas, but this Sanchari is sort of like a condition of the mixing. Anyway,
I don't know if you'll have to worry too much about these things for a while. Of course, I hope you do. This is very high level of Krishna consciousness. This is really very high.
So basically, the devotee is experiencing these different ecstasies. Being totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness to the absolute exclusion of anything else. However, having said all that, there are 9 anubhavs, there are many anubhavs, there are 9 particular anubhavs or responses to the stimulation of Krishna or Krishna's devotees, the stimulations of Krishna consciousness. There are 5 observable symptoms. Like we read, he said there that, like a miser, the devotee tries to hide this treasure of Bhava. So like you take Srila Prabhupada, he was certainly on the level of Bhava, on the level of Prema, but he was hiding these emotional conditions almost completely. So we talked about this yesterday. He was generally like an extremely together, level-headed, intelligent, organized gentleman of the first degree. So he was hiding his emotional symptoms generally. Not always, but generally. Now, there are 9 symptoms of Bhava, which are only really possible on the level of Bhava, at least in really significant states, but they're unhideable and they're easily observable. And these are concern about time, meaning not to waste a second from being engaged in Krishna's service. This is first. Then, being absolutely perseverant. Perseverant, is it? Probably. Anyway. Being totally detached. If you want details on all this, this is all described elaborately in chapter 18 of Nectar of Devotion. In fact, the entire chapter is simply on this subject. These observable and unhideable symptoms of Bhava. Prideless. A state of total humility. Bhava, incidentally, is the level of Uttama Adhikari. Prabhupada mentions this in Nectar of Devotion. And great hope. If we had a Nectar of Devotion, I could read some of the things which are said there. A great eagerness to engage in Krishna conscious activities. Attachment to chanting, eagerness to engage in devotional activities, and then another eagerness, distinguished from the number 6, eagerness to glorify the Lord, talk about His glories. And 9, attraction to the places of the Lord. Attraction to the dharms, the holy dharms. Attachment to the temple where the deity is, because that's also the abode of the Lord, the place of the Lord. So this concern about time, what we're talking about is something, if you consider the example of Srila Prabhupada, that He would take rest the night about 11, and he'd be up at 1. And he'd be chanting for a couple of hours, then he'd be translating. Then he'd go on his morning walk, greet the deities, then he'd be dealing with the devotees and the whole international movement. Then he'd take lunch, then he'd have a little rest for an hour, usually around 2 or 3, take rest for an hour. Then he'd be up again and it would be darshan, meeting with devotees, guests, whoever was around. And then into the evening, meeting, dealing with the movement again, and like this. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm sure you've heard about his example, says this type of concern about time, that things like eating and sleeping become insignificant. Like Haridas Thakur chanting 22 and a half hours a day, Raghunath Das Goswami also 22 and a half hours a day in devotional service. Oftentimes forgetting to eat and sleep, having to be reminded after 3 days that you haven't eaten or slept for 3 days. You should, otherwise it's not good for your body. Like that. So this sort of concern for time. I don't think we've got time to go into them all, because we've got to talk about prema. So just take it. I mean, they're very, very nice examples of all of these. But please just take it that they're there. And these are very important symptoms. They come under the heading of anubhavs. These are actually anubhavs, because it means they're responses. You're responding to Krishna. So they're actually considered anubhavs. And they're actually considered the most important anubhavs, because they're basically unhideable. They're basically unhideable. Whereas the very emotional conditions, they can be hidden. They generally can be hidden. So, all right, now, prema.
One person.
Yeah?
The devotee is experiencing these conditions in the heart.
Yeah.
So that means it is internal consciousness. It's no more external awareness of the external reality. Lost. Is that what happens?
Lost. But reduced considerably.
So how does he have this control over hiding these emotions?
So if he's ordered by his spiritual master to be a preacher, then this is a vibhav, because vibhav means that which stimulates. So the order of the spiritual master definitely is a stimulant in Krishna consciousness. It's the main stimulant. So that it arouses the response of acting in a certain way. So on that basis, by the arrangement of the Lord, he is able to control himself generally. Yeah. Okay. So right at the end here now, we're on page 23. Right at the bottom of the second paragraph. When Bhava first matures and begins to transform into prema, that very Vrajendra Nanda, who's the personification of rasa, is directly realized by qualified devotees. So then the first paragraph to do with prema is basically explaining about how this is all coming, the flowers are coming to fruit. Then one of the characteristics of prema, although it would sound like perhaps it's a characteristic even of a satyabhava, but a characteristic of prema is that one totally loses any identification with anything other than Krishna. So let us just read the third paragraph. The nectar which comes from the fruit of prema has the essential quality of concentrated bliss, and its outstanding nourishing property is its power to attract Krishna. When the devotee begins to taste that nectar, he does not take heed of any obstacles. Like a miser feverish for treasure, like a thief who has lost all sense of discretion out of absorption in his job of stealing. The devotee loses all sense of self-consciousness. Sometimes there's an impatience for obtaining the Lord, like a hunger that cannot be satisfied, even by eating the most tasty foods day and night. The devotee burns like the sun through that anxiety. He's soothed only by tasting the form, qualities, and sweetness of the Lord, which make momentary